Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Complete preview of the Preds and Jets tonight, Game 6. And we'll get a former player's perspective, someone who knows this locker room well. Vern Fiddler joins us. Always great catching up with him during the postseason. Vern, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well, despite what happened on Saturday. What are nerves like as you face elimination as a player?
Yeah, it's a little bit different knowing that you have a game the next day, but there is no tomorrow right now for these guys, and you try to be obviously a little more focused, and you know there's a little bit of nerves that set in because you're anxious just to get the game going, and you're focused on getting a good pregame skate under your belt. You know, they flew yesterday, so try to get the jet lag out a little bit and just get ready for that nap and get ready to give your best effort once the game time hits. So it is a little more nerve-wracking that day for sure when you can face elimination.
How long could they let themselves be angry on Saturday? I mean, do you want that to create a restless night? We always hear about it, as soon as it's over, you want to put it away. But obviously, there's a lot to chew on there.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's things that you want to take out of the game. But, you know, the good teams that go far in the playoffs tend to just forget about the game, whether they won it or lost it. Where when you have a great win, you don't sit there and admire yourselves and tell each other how good you were. But because you know there's another game coming up that, you know, it could swing either way. So, you know, you try to do that with the losses too. You take what you can out of them and you try to take as much good out of them and just forget about the bad, but learn a little bit from the bad in the video and then, you know, move forward because these games are different. Like, I mean, Preds play incredible in game 4. They play almost a perfect game. And then in game 5, you know, they don't have so much success, but you know, they're going to have to go into this game with a 1-0 mentality. That's the kind of game they got to try to play again, and they're going to get their chances. They just have too much skill to not get those chances, but at the same time, you got to really commit to defending, and I just don't think they've done that on a consistent basis yet.
You like Laviolette's decision to play Scott Hartnell in game 4. It worked out for the Preds. They went away from that in game 5. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I was really surprised by the decision because, you know, it's a big boy series. I mean, they got some big bodies over there that are really bumping guys around, and you know they've kind of stepped up to that physical challenge, and at times the Preds have, but at times they've looked a little bit timid. So I was surprised that Scott came in there and produced a lot of energy. You know, they produced some offense, and I thought he added a lot to that second line. But as a coach, it's not an easy decision to sit a guy out that's scored you 50 some points in the regular season and scored you an OT winner in the playoffs. So, you know, it was a tough decision, and you know, I'm sure he thought that he might light a fire under Kevin's butt, but it was a team effort. It wasn't just that Scott Hartnell wasn't in the lineup. It just wasn't a good effort there. It was too loose defensively, and you know, they're really going to have to tighten up and defensively and stay with the structure that, you know, we had last year to be successful these next couple games.
Any doubt in your mind that he goes back to what worked in Winnipeg, back in Winnipeg tonight?
As far as the lineup change?
Yeah. Scott.
I don't know how you don't put him back in there. I mean, you want to make some adjustments to the lineup, and he played so well the night before, you know, the game before that, you know, I'd assume they'd put Scott Hartnell back in there just because, you know, his physical presence, his leadership. He's been in these situations where, you know, you try to get his a lineup that has the most experience as possible. But, it's tough. Who do you take out? Like, who do you take out of the lineup? Do you take Hartman out for he got a little overexcited and, you know, took a bad penalty, but then he scored a goal the game before. So, I mean, he's got – Laviolette's got a lot of tough decisions to make, and, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be his role right now. He's got to make some big decisions, and you know, at this time of the year, you know, those decisions hurt some feelings, but at the same time, he's trying to put the best lineup in, and he's definitely got a tough decision. But if it was me, I would put Scott Hartnell in the lineup just on based on what he brought in game four.
Former Pred Vern Fiddler with us on the Midday 180. We hear a lot about Peter Laviolette. What is he like in these big moments? Does he talk more or talk less?
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's just an amazing coach. He's an amazing motivator. I can tell you a story. Like I got he told me the night before that I wasn't playing. He said, you know, come in for a pregame skate and, you know, all that and want you around. And I remember sitting in the meeting and my feet were just tapping. Like, he just had this speech and I was thinking, like, how am I going to get into this lineup? You know, like, I was just, my adrenaline was already pumping and I was firing and I'm just like, I just wanted to play so bad. And I just remember thinking, like, if I was a coach, this is how I'd want to be, you know, in front of my team. Like, he just had us fired right up. Just, and I mean, it was morning skate, right? So he's just one of those guys that's a great motivator, but at the same time, he never says too much, but he never, you know, he's always got the right amount to say. And he's just one of those guys that you trust him because he's been in these situations year after year. He's been to the, you know, finals and one with Carolina. He's been in it with Philadelphia. Now he comes to Nashville and it's the same thing. So he's obviously saying the right things. Very smart guy as far as systems, but keeps everybody engaged, whether you're playing or not, keeps you a very good communicator. Just don't have enough good, can't say enough good things about the guy. I mean, it was a tough couple months for me being in and out of the lineup because I had never done that, but he always found a way to keep me engaged, and I'll always remember that side of Laviolette.
You know, he has a good feel for his roster, when to make certain moves. I would imagine that also coincides with the message that he sends to individual players. Did he get the most out of you for coaches that you played with or played for?
Well, I don't know if he got the most out of me. I was, you know, kind of like a spare piece. My car was pretty banged up and, you know, I didn't have a whole bunch to give anymore. So I don't know if he got the most out of me, but, you know, I guess he did insert me in a lineup and I scored a game winning goal. So, you know, I guess I did contribute when he put me in, but, at the same time, I don't think I gave him as much as I could have, but you know, he has that magic wand where we've seen it a lot last year where he would insert Zolnarchuk. Zolnarchuk scores a game winning goal in Chicago, and you know, putting Cody McLeod in, and you know, he would insert guys depending on the matchup. So you know, he's been pretty successful with the magic wand, and you know, hopefully that magic wand can work again tonight.
Former Pred Vern Fiddler, our guest on the Midday 180. Vern, we had this discussion earlier about Roman Josi, clearly not having his best playoff so far. First year as a captain, we've heard a lot from PK Subban, from Ryan Ellis, from Ryan Johansson, sort of talking to the team through the media so far. We haven't heard a lot from Roman Josi. What was your experience like around him? I know he wasn't the captain a year ago when you were on the team, but what type of player was he in the locker room? Was he a guy that would ever be vocal?
Yeah, he wasn't the most vocal guy, but he would pipe up and say the odd thing, and you know, really good leader, very good player. You know, he's very well respected by his teammates and you know, colleagues. He's a guy that will do anything for the team, but I mean, there's a lot of pressure that comes along with being a captain, and you know, it's added pressure because everything kind of falls on your shoulders now, whether that has something to do with it or, you know, maybe there's something going on with his body or, you know, who knows. But, you know, he's still one of those guys that logs a lot of ice minutes. And even though he's not, you know, putting up the points and producing all the points, he's still doing, you know, a lot of good things out there. But, you know, they definitely need him to be a little bit better. But he's one of those guys that would do anything for his team. And there's a reason why there's a C on his shoulder, because he's respected by the management and all of his teammates. But I have nothing but respect for that guy, that's for sure.
Do players speak through the media to teammates in some instances more than others, or do we read into that too much?
No, I think the media reads into that a little bit more than it actually happens, because you know, there's questions asked. It's not just like the players are grabbing a microphone and blurting stuff out.
Right.
You know, the questions are asked, so the media is setting you up to say that stuff. So it's not like, you know, you're just holding your own press conference and announcing a bunch of stuff. It's more of those are questions that, you know, you're basically putting on a white tee or the little Titleist ball put up on the tee and someone's ready to hit you, right? So, no, I think it's more of just answering questions.
How much, run us through kind of the process, how much of that game is rewatched? How much is cut up in a meeting that he wants guys to see specific things? How much do guys go beyond what's shown in whatever meeting you have? How much of that game is rewatched?
Oh, well, you actually watch every one of your shifts. Like in the last 4 or 5 years, the video has really come out, surfaced to the top, because you get your shifts. So you'll get an iPad after every game, and you get your shifts put on it. So it's just your shifts. So every time you've touched the ice, your shift is on there. So if you've done something wrong, and I mean, you can fast forward it, rewind it, you can watch it as many times as you want. So every guy on that whole team, you go through all of your shifts. And you watch it 3 or 4 times of your chances for and against. So let's say, for instance, you have a chance against where the other team's got a grade A scoring chance. That'll be posted on the board. So you go up and you see, okay, this was your fault. This was created from a turnover or, you know, covering the wrong guy. So then you'd go back in the video and it, you know, has the time on there where 15:45 of the third period, you go back and you look and you adjust, okay, this is where I went wrong, or this is what I could have done differently. So, and then obviously goals against and goals for are usually showed in video the next day with the coaches. So a lot of the video, actually, you guys probably know that there's some video watch, but more than people know that video is a, you know, a secret weapon for a lot of teams. And, you know, I always like to watch my shifts or my games a couple times just to see if I could do something better or be in a different spot or better position in goals against or, you know, chances against, or even offensively, like if someone's backing in or you see guy on. For me, I always have all my face-off guys. I would have the video guy pull all the face-offs, how a guy was taking a face-off at the end of a game on his strong side, on his weak side, offensively, defensively. So, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into that, but a lot of teams are using that video, and it does definitely help for sure.
What line or defensive pairing is going to be most disappointed when they watch the cut up of all of their ice time after game 5?
from the Preds?
From the Preds' perspective, someone that you think is going to see a lot of missed opportunities on the ice when they were in.
Well, there was, you know, it looked like the defense was struggling a little bit. They gave up, you know, a bunch of goals. So, I mean, as a collective group, I'm not going to just target it on one guy, but, you know, the top guys, the top two guys or the top four guys, have, you know, they're taking in some water right now, and it's almost like they're just trying to do a little bit too much. You just got to get simple and get the puck going back north. And, you know, they're making that extra play that's finding them, you know, getting more zone time and spending more defensive time in their own end, which is starting to, you know, play a toll on the defense. So, you know, they just got to start to keep it a little more simple, and, you know, hopefully they can watch the video and figure that out.
Vern Fiddler, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Vern, we've seen Winnipeg lose one of their two home games. Nashville has lost two of their three home games in this series. Is home ice overrated?
No, I don't think it is. I think it has a huge advantage. I just think in this series, you know, teams have found themselves laying an egg at home, or, you know, the other team stepping up. But the home ice, it has a major advantage. I mean, there's a reason why the bookies always tend to pick the home team. There's just tons of advantages to it. You can get your matchup, and if your top players are going to outplay their top players, you're going to win the game, and you have a chance for that last change. You can get your defense pairing against them. You got your home crowd. You're sleeping in your own bed. There's just so many advantages to the disadvantages of being on the road. I mean, yes, as an away team, you're playing a little more of a simple game. You don't have any distractions, but being at home, I feel, in my opinion, I think there's a lot of advantages to it. You just got to, you know, find the right mix to it and take advantage of it.
Well, and to that point, we were discussing before you joined us, from the Winnipeg side of things, if they're able to close it out tonight, I would think in that locker room, they're thinking, we don't want to make one extra trip to Nashville for game seven and then turn around and go to the West Coast, you know, to get ready or to get back home to host a game. You know, the quick turnaround for what would be game one, we guess, over the weekend, even though that hasn't been announced yet. It's just one less trip you have to make.
No, and I mean, that'll be identified in that dressing room in Winnipeg. I mean, we were in that situation with Anaheim. We did not want to go back to Anaheim last year. The last thing we wanted to do is fly 4.5 hours back to the West Coast and play another game and, you know, give them another shot at the series. And, you know, we talked about that in the dressing room. Guys, if, you know, we're going to keep going, we got to end this series tonight. We cannot go back and, you know, fly back to Anaheim and, you know, give them another shot at us. We want to end this series tonight. And, you know, that was something that we brought up and talked about. So, you know, there's going to be some desperate hockey out there tonight on both sides, because Winnipeg knows if they have to come back to Nashville. I mean, it's another trip, but it's just game seven. Anything can happen. You know, I mean, there's a bad bounce here. I mean, we saw it in game six against Pittsburgh. I mean, we got it back to Nashville, and it's a, you know, a lucky goal off Texas' leg, and, you know, you find yourself, you know, your season done. So you want to get the job done as quick as you can and try to save as much travel as you can, because, you know, the next series is just going to be just as hard, and, you know, you want to try to take care of business when you can.
Vern, 2 years ago, you faced this exact situation with Dallas. You're Central champs, had to win a road game at St. Louis to extend the series to a seventh game. You scored in that game six and won the game. What do you remember about that matchup in an elimination situation?
Yeah, it was a crazy series. We were kind of like the Preds, where we weren't playing the greatest hockey, but we were finding ways to win. And then, you know, we went into St. Louis, a really tough place to play. It was actually my birthday, and my mom and dad surprised me and flew in. I saw them walking out of the hotel. Our GM said, "Hey, there's someone in the lobby that wants your autograph." I walked down to the lobby, and it was my mom and dad surprising me on my 36th birthday. My mom handed me a feather. That was like our little thing when I was playing, and she would find me lucky feathers, and she's like, "You're going to score a goal tonight." So she handed me this feather. I put it in my wallet. Sure enough, I scored a goal. So
that's awesome.
But that was a great series, just because we had to get it back to Dallas. We wanted another game. You know, St. Louis had played so great. They had such a great decor. You know, up front, they were so deep. We just kind of kept going at them and going at them. We got it to game seven, and then what happens? You lay an egg in game seven. You know, didn't get the greatest goaltending and found ourselves knocked out. But, you know, there's been some good Central Division battles, and this is just another case of another Central Division battle that you hope both teams could go on, but just one of them can go on. So it'll be a good game tonight.
So, Vern, if we see a coin on the street that's heads up, you pick it up because it's a lucky coin.
Don't pick it up.
Oh, okay. If you find a feather, what do you do? Do you pick up the feather?
You pick the feather up and you give it to one of the Preds. Get it to MTS Center. get those feathers going.
Why not the coin?
I never touch coins. It's not my money. It's not my property. But feathers are gamers. You gotta
I think there are some birds that would argue that feather is not your property.
It's actually funny. A couple of weeks ago, when we were in Nashville, my sister and I were there for a hockey tournament, and my sister is really big into it too. So she handed my son a little feather. So I put it in my wallet. We were going into a semifinal game, and I put it in my wallet. So then I went to take the wallet out to give it to my son, but I still had another feather in there that my mother had given me when I was in Nashville playing against. We were playing against Anaheim when I went in the lineup. So that feather didn't work, though.
I just hope you don't end up with the bird flu out of all of this. Hey, what in your estimation, if we made you narrow it down to one reason, why have they not been able to string two together, which is what they're going to have to do now to get out of this series?
You know, you can't, I feel like they're just, they're trying to do a little bit too much. Like, I don't know how you guys feel, but I just feel like they're just trying to make that extra play where, You know, it's either turning around the other way and Winnipeg's transitioning it, or, you know, they're just trying to make that one extra play where, you know, they could get a puck on net and, you know, and I think they could just be a little bit stronger defensively and really, clamp down defensively. 'Cause I think it's been a little bit of, you know, the run and gun mentality where last year, you know, it was just defense first and, you know, that's the only way we were going to win. And we knew that. And we got huge goals from guys. I mean, how many guys scored game winning goals last year? Like it was just incredible how, you know, we clamped down and then we'd score big goals. We'd score goals late in games, you know, in overtime. And this year it just seems like they're maybe just chasing it a little bit too much instead of being patient and letting it come to them. So I think that's what they kind of got to have, that mentality. Like I said earlier, got to get just that 0-0 mentality, 1-0 mentality kind of game. And I think their chances are really good for them.
And we keep waiting on the Preds' experience in the playoffs to show up against a team that doesn't have that experience with Winnipeg, a very young Winnipeg team. Do you expect tonight the experience of the Preds shows up on the road in Game 6?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but at the same time, you know, a team that doesn't have experience, they don't know any better, so they're just going out there and playing. Like, they have no pressure like we had last year, right? Like, we just went out and played. We didn't really know any better. And now that you have, you know, the experience, sometimes you just put too much pressure on yourselves, and, you know, there's so much going on, and everybody expects you to win this game and that game. You know, they just got to go out there and give it their best and play as hard as they can. They have great coaching. You know, that's been put all in front of them. Go out and have great efforts and try to be your best. And I, you know, you just let the pressure, like, let the media take care of the pressure and let the GM and the coach take care of the pressure. The players, you have got to just go out there and play and forget about everything else. And the puck drops, don't worry about what's going to happen. You just play every shift as hard as you can, and I think the Preds will come out on top.
Vern Fiddler, our guest. Vern, always great to have you on, man. We'll do it again soon.
Awesome, guys. Go Preds.
Thank you, Vern. Vern Fiddler. We just have to get the Fiddler on the roof when he's in town next time, on the rooftop at Paradise Park.
Game 7 Thursday night's a good opportunity to get Fiddler on the roof. Need to make it happen.
Would love that.